So now you're in New Mexico.
Yeah.
And you've been here for how many years?
I've been living here 16 years.
16 years.
First time I came here was 82, so you do the math.
But, right. Okay.
But yeah, it's been.
I'm really bad at math, but okay.
So much. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
Okay. I was a young guy then.
So you've picked up, I mean, being in New Mexico, what sort of influences has the local area, you know, brought to you?
Well,
I know for one thing that you're associated with the Banyuwa Sioux.
Well, let me tell you about that. We were talking about El Paso. One of the great musicians of El Paso is the wonderful Ricky Malachi, who's my dear buddy. We had met in the days of the Chicago Jazz Exchange, and he would come and sit in with the group, and we would hang out. And we always said, gee, we really got to play together sometime. It would really be fun. So when I got established in New Mexico, I contacted Ricky and I said, hey, we've been threatening to do a project. Now is the time. And he said, yeah, you're absolutely right. So I got him to come up. He was kind of commuting back and forth. We put together a little jazz trio. We're getting some gigs. We got our foot in the door at the La Fonda Hotel, and I'm still there 12 and a half years later. Ricky said, I got a buddy in El Paso who is a conga player. And Puerto Rican and sings all that stuff. And we got talking about that. We said, well, what about a Latin group, but a small Latin group? I mean, it's just really cumbersome to try to travel an 8 or 9-piece group. I mean, a quartet is an ideal size to travel because it's, one vehicle, 2 hotel rooms. if you add that fifth person, all of a sudden the expenses double. Anyway, I mean, I'm being flippant about it, but we really thought it would be fun to try to – and we didn't know what we wanted to do. Is this going to be a Brazilian group? There was a style at the time, this is the early 90s, called samba reggae. Do we want to go there? We started sampling all of these different types of things. We played our first gig. I think we knew 6 tunes, and we wound up just improvising the rest of it. People looked at us like we were crazy. But anyway, the group evolved into a very tight Latin jazz group with I used a split keyboard thing so I could cover some of the brass parts. And so I found myself playing the brass hits with my right hand, playing a left-handed montuno, and singing harmony parts in Spanish. So, and I couldn't think about any of it, or I'd get totally confused. But what we wound up with was incorporating a lot of the traditions of salsa. The Afro-Cuban clave. Instead of having timbales, we had drum set and congas. So, and Ricky and Danny kind of got their percussion groove happening. It was really good. Had that. A wonderful bass player I mentioned, John Bell's the guy, came out. It was a buddy of mine from the Jazz Masters Trio days. We brought him back out from New York, and he was enthused about it because he's half Cuban and really knowledgeable and enthused about Latin music, and put together a really fun Latin jazz quartet. Had a great run. We did 2 recordings with that group. We did Ya Yo Go, which was the first one. And then later on, Danny moved to the Seattle area, and we brought in Gary Cardilli, another great conga player and singer who was originally from Kansas City, but we met him in L.A., brought him in, and that was kind of round 2 of Yobo So. And that was when we did the second recording of Off the Menu.
And Yobo So had, like you said, a great run and I believe won some awards. And
We got in top 20 Latin music airplay in Miami, which was really a thrill. Probably one of the highlights was the winning the BET jazz competition. They solicited videos from groups to come and perform. And anyway, make a long story short, lo and behold, they chose us, and we were flew us out to Washington D.C. and did some recording there in their studio. And It was amazing because wherever we went, and we did a lot of touring. We did a lot of cross-country hopping with that group, playing concerts. We did a lot of, West Virginia, North Carolina, Midwest, Columbus, Ohio. Wow, geez, Seattle, Alaska. We went to Alaska with that band.
Yeah.
And then the culmination was when we headlined the largest and longest-running free jazz festival in Australia, in Manly, outside of Sydney. So We were one of the very few American groups and certainly the only Latin group. And we discovered that people love Latin jazz wherever you go.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing we were going there, some of my favorite Dave Brubeck recordings are where he would go to another place. For instance, he did an album in Mexico. None of his music, all Mexican folk songs, but done with the quartet and done in a very hip way. So I came up with a very tongue-in-cheek arrangement of Waltzing Matilda in clave, you know, baila con Matilda. And, you know, we made up a goofy story about, well, you know, Latin jazz was actually invented in Australia. And it came from a little town called Kikatinalong. And we've got a piece of music that proves it to you. And, of course, you know, you go to a place like that and you play the music of the local area and people just love it.
Yeah, that's so great.
It was fun.
Well, you brought a CD.
Yes.
And I believe we're going to listen to East to West.
Yeah, this is West to East.
West
actually.
To East, okay.
Yeah, don't get going the wrong way now.
Yeah, I'm always backwards.
This was one of my original compositions, and this was part of the music video that we did as well.
Okay. And that's a little bit of West to East. It's an original with Burt Dalton and Yobo Soul.
Indeed.
Really, really nice.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, yeah. Do you miss that group?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. In some ways I do, in some ways I don't. I mean, it's hard, you know, managing a quartet, keeping it on the road. You know, the administrative side was kind of bearing down on me. But
so why don't you have somebody else do it? Yeah, I'm kidding.
Yeah. the eternal quest, hey, we got to find a manager.
Exactly.
You know, yeah, that would have been great. But yeah. But no, I will certainly – I'm not done with Latin music. And I'm sort of envisioning that the next project I'd like to do would be on a larger scale, more of a recording project with horns and a lot of original writing, and try to incorporate some of the things that I learned from being in that band.
Okay. That sounds great.
It's fun music.
Well, what are you doing now? I mean, you're talking about something in the future, but what's going on with you right now?
What's going on right now is the current trio, which is John Bartlett on drums and Milo Jaramillo on bass, two just amazing musicians, both from here in Albuquerque. These guys are so dedicated. They drive up to Santa Fe every Monday and Tuesday night. The La Fonda is our workshop, and this is where we've been working this trio now for 5 years, and it is slick and well-oiled. We've got a couple of projects coming up. We're actually just about to start recording a project of children's material, things from kids' movies and TV shows, but done in a very hip jazz way. This album has got to be hip to jazz listeners, but just happens to draw on the repertoire that kids can associate with.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Yeah, so that's going to be a hoot. We got a couple more up our sleeve too, but we've got a recording situation now that works for us, where we can kind of do our own tracking and, you know, do it in a real comfortable situation such as this.
Okay.
yeah. So that's on the front burner right now is getting this trio out there.
That's great. And so part of that is a recording of that trio that you brought with you.
Yeah. Now, this is some live tracking that we did sort of in preparation for these things. And I brought this along just to kind of give you a taste of what I'm talking about. This trio's got such a great synergy, what these guys bring to it. And, you know, we were talking about three minds working together. And this trio definitely expresses that.
So okay. What is the name of this cut?
We're going to listen to a little bit of Softly as in a Morning Sunrise, a wonderful standard. Thank you.
And this is Homegrown in New Mexico. This is recorded at the La Fonda Hotel in Santa Fe. Burt Dalton on piano, and there are other guys in this band?
John Bartlett on drums and Rob Milo Jaramillo on the bass.
That's beautiful, man.
What a great trio. I mean, you know, those guys are so great to play with, and I've never felt the musical freedom ever that I have with these guys. They're
nice.
So supportive, and we just have a ball playing together.
It you can tell. You can tell. That's really wonderful. Thank you for bringing that. So, Bert, tell me, are there areas like outside of jazz or other things that you'd like to try to do in the future, stuff that like would really push the envelope, or is jazz and Latin jazz the direction that you're going to be going for the foreseeable future?
Well, that's probably going to be the main course. I did a project recently which whetted my appetite for more. My wife wrote a wonderful novel called The Shamrock and the Feather, and she said, you know what, this novel needs a music soundtrack. And I thought, of course, she was nuts at first. And after I thought about it for a while, we went ahead and produced and recorded it's like a movie soundtrack that goes with this novel. And it was – boy, it was really a leap of faith for me. It's combining a lot of Celtic music with Native American music and putting it in – there's a lot of symphonic passages. So it was fun writing a very visual sort of music. Out of that, I created an orchestral suite that had five movements, which we performed with the Allen Philharmonic outside of Dallas.
Wow.
A year or so ago. So the thrill of working with a symphony is something that I hope that won't be my last time. That was an awful lot of fun,
wow.
You know. But, you know, using jazz harmonies and things like that, but relating them to the instruments of the orchestra and trying to play on some of that richness, it's a marvelous palette. I wouldn't mind getting a little more taste of that sometime, I suppose. But for me, the main thing is really developing the trio and the freedom of the trio playing and seeing where that goes.
Great. Is there anything else we want to talk about right now? I mean, you know, we've covered a lot of stuff. We've talked about how you got to New Mexico, the way you got into the music. You know, one thing we didn't ask you is, well, and you kind of talked a little bit about it already, some of the folks that you've met in New Mexico and that have become friends of yours, and are there any ones that stand out in your mind as far as musicians that you really admire and really enjoy?
Oh, gosh. I mean, if I name one, I've got to name 150. I mean, there's such a wonderful, wonderful music community here. And I got to say, there's, you know, we talked a little bit about the camaraderie in Chicago. New Mexico has got a real fellowship amongst musicians. There's other towns I've been to where it's very competitive and cutthroat. Here, everyone is supportive and really trying to help each other out. So I got to say that. Probably one of the coolest people that I had the opportunity to get to know here was Herbie Mann. Just a wonderful human being, wonderful musician. We had with Yobo, so we had the privilege of working with him at up at Westcliff 1 year. We had rehearsed with him, and he said, okay, we're going to do this, that, and the other. I told the guys, okay, write it down. This is what we're going to do. We got up there. I saw him that night. You know what? We're not going to do it. We're going to do such and such. I saw him the next morning. It was completely changed. Anyway, long story short, by the time we got to the stage, this guy was just shooting from the hip, and he could not have chosen – he could have not have made better musical choices of what was happening in the moment. And to me, that was really a lesson of reading the crowd, reading the band. What can this band play? What can we all do together to create a wonderful musical moment? And it was very inspirational, and it was a privilege to know that guy.
That's great. That's great. I do have one more question I want to ask.
Make
you.
It easy.
What color? No. what is it that is there something that the public does not know about music in New Mexico or musicians in New Mexico that you would like to maybe enlighten them on, coming from the perspective of being a musician in New Mexico?
Well, you know, we don't have any deep, dark secrets that we're keeping from anyone. I would just, you know, encourage the listeners, encourage the public to really notice the high quality of musicianship, the high quality of music that is being created and produced in this state. I mean, there's some wonderful things going on, not only in jazz, I mean, in flamenco and in all in Latin music. We've got wonderful Latin bands. There's some really terrific Western bands. You know, Duke Ellington said there's only two kinds of music, good and bad. There are some just really world-class players that are right here in our own community, and I would just encourage people to go dig them, check it out, and really appreciate the wonderful resources we have right here in New Mexico. It stands up to anything I heard on Rush Street.
We've been talking with Bert Dalton. Thank